The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformers Reader.
Welcome back, everybody. Time to get into our Reformers Reader segment, and joining us for a new regular segment, we'll do this once a month, we've got Steve Bloom, the editor-in-chief of Freedom Leaf Magazine. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Russ. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's great to hear your voice. Talking to you in New York, I presume?
Yes, I am. Back home.
All right. So for our listeners out there that may not know, tell them basically what Freedom Leaf is all about and how they can get one.
Well, it's a really cool magazine. It's a shorter, smaller size magazine, so it's easy to kind of put in your purse or your pocketbook or your back pocket. So it looks like a digest, but it's not. You know, we really work very hard every month to put together, you know, what we think are the most important stories each month that are facing the marijuana world and, you know, dealing with politics and policy, advocacy, activism, business, culture, science. There's a lot there. You know, there's almost too much to keep up with. So as you know and others may know, I used to work at High Times, and so I'm bringing my skills that I learned there. I also brought things to High Times from being in publishing for many years, even before that. But, you know, taking everything I learned there and before and putting into this magazine. So where you can get it, Freedom Leaf is a little hard to find. Sometimes you have to be in a dispensary or a rec store in a legal state. All the normal and SSDP and Women Grow chapters get them, and they put them out at their events. So, you know, if you're in New York and you're at any kind of a marijuana event, I'll generally be there. You can find the magazines that way. So it's a little hit and miss, so you can also subscribe.
You know,
it's also available online. The new issue is just coming out, so we always release it first digitally online. You can, you know, it's obviously free of charge. Go into the website, freedomleaf.com, and go find it there. We'll post it around Facebook to get people's attention. So usually it comes out first, like literally today. The new magazine is online today, and the printed version will be available in a few days.
So the Freedom Leaf magazine, one of the things I really appreciate about it is that interface with Normal and SSDP and Women Grow chapters. And the genealogy of Freedom Leaf also is intertwined with, you know, you with High Times and now Alan St. Pierre is with your group from Normal. So there seems to be a very activism focused magazine.
Well, let's take one step back. You know, Dick Cowan, Richard Cowan is the founder, the co-founder with Cliff Perry, and Dick was the executive director of Normal in the 90s. So actually, you know, it kind of was a neat little coming around for me with Dick. I mean, I knew Dick back then, and we did these benefit albums, the Hempelation albums, which I produced. And the first one was Freedom is Normal, and that was when Dick was there. So coming full circle, you know, we're sort of working together again is cool. And yeah, the relationship with Alan, you know, leaving Normal and coming over to work with us, it's really just a treat to have Alan St. Pierre on the phone when we do our conference calls and just, you know, pick his brain about the latest. You know, this morning we're talking about, you know, what happened, you know, with the latest, you know, comments from either Spicer or Sessions, and it's always an interesting take. So it's great to have Alan aboard. And, you know, so yeah, Normal, SSDP, Women Grow, and we're also looking to work with some of the other organizations, NCIA, and anybody else who really wants to, you know, work with us, we're ready to work with them.
Freedom Leaf is a great magazine. I contribute some pieces to it from time to time, and the issue coming out now is the March edition. What are some of the focus stories in the March edition?
Well, we have Jeff Sessions on the cover, okay? So the headline is, what will Jeff Sessions do? It's a very fluid situation, right? Because every day there's some new story that just started to break this week. Up until we worked on this story, he had not commented on marijuana yet, except for in the hearings and different times, you know, obviously the famous, you know, good people don't smoke marijuana stuff, but he hadn't really said anything until this week, so we kind of jumped on that, but we know it's very fluid. Alan wrote a long piece to kind of give you a backgrounder on who Sessions is and what we're up against. So that's our sort of main theme. You know, in my mind, it's like the biggest story in the zeitgeist right now is obviously what will Trump do, or what will Sessions do, or what will this administration do in regards to marijuana. Obviously, they've given us some clues in the last couple of days. So that's our main cover story. And in this issue also, we kind of have a focus on prisoners. You did the interview with Eddie Lepp, who just got out of jail a couple of months ago after 8 years. And a lot of people know Eddie in the marijuana community, a California grower who had a really large, you know, farm up in Northern California, and he got caught with it. Did eight years instead of, you know, any kind of shorter term, you know, by ratting out on anybody else. He's a good guy. And then we also have a story about the Marijuana Lifers by Sherry Sicard, who's been working with this organization that she created to try and get, you know, marijuana prisoners who were in jail for life out of jail, which is, you know, it's hard to believe when you think about this day and age that there are really people in jail, and most of them are just conspiracy charges, you know, something that added up maybe over a couple of times where they had a few other arrests and boom, you know, they could be a three-time loser and end up in jail for life. So that's a little scary. And then we also have a feature on Cannabis Radio in this issue. We've been talking with Brandy Shapiro and you know, about, you know, sort of, you know, doing some collaboration with Freedom Leaf and Cannabis Radio, so it happens to be in this issue. And that also has a page that we call the Cannabis Radio's Top Pot Jocks, and you're one of them.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Available at freedomleaf.com right now, the digital edition, or check your normal SSDP or Women Grow chapters to find a copy. Is there a way someone can subscribe to, and get it mailed to them by any chance?
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can. You can follow, you know, a subscription ad in the magazine or on the website. Don't really have a URL specifically for that, but it's up on the website if you want it. It's definitely available as for subscribers. And it's a good idea, you know, if you're, you know, if you still like to have magazines and a hard copy, you know, it might be, you know, sometimes you might be able to not be able to get every issue. If you live in a part of the country where we're really not distributed very well, this is probably the only way besides digitally.
Is there, besides the focus on Jeff Sessions in this upcoming issue, other social or cultural articles that people might look for?
Well, we always do. You know, we actually have a first article by Watermelon, who's a activist up in Vancouver. And, you know, we were there recently. I was up there with you at the ICBC back in October and hadn't seen Watermelon. She calls her by the name Watermelon. Her name is Mary Jean. I forget how her last name goes, but that's her kind of her pen name. And she, you know, I hadn't seen her in years, and she got back in touch with me and said she'd like to do some writing for the magazine. And so I had her do a piece that kind of, I just wanted her to kind of give me a little perspective from Vancouver, and she told a story about a guy named Patty who she used to celebrate St. Patty's Day with all the time. So just things like that. It could be, you know, an angle even like that that's not, you know, a major angle, but it's just letting somebody express themselves. I mean, this month we have an article about the pioneering professors of Oaksterdam University. We've been doing a lot of articles with them. We have an article by Amanda Ryman called The Importance of Guided Consumption. Amanda always has an interesting take on things. We have an article called Snoop and Chung, which is Snoop Dogg and Ted Chung, and how they've collaborated to create a number of cannabis companies. So, you know, it's kind of the magazine, the front of the magazine is sort of newsy with all the activist groups, and we have a whole new section called Word on the Tree, written by Mona Zhang. And then, you know, we go into a feature section of what we consider the most important articles, you know, of the month. And then you get to the back, and the back of the magazine is a little more lifestyle, a little more cultural. Sherry Sicard does her monthly food column, which is really always great. Beth Mann always has an interesting take on things, whatever it is happening in the cannabis world, or she writes about. We also have in this issue a guide to Las Vegas. Chris Thompson, one of our writers out in Las Vegas, he toured around, you know, just fun things to do when you're stoned in Vegas, essentially. Rick Frommer, who's kind of pretty well known on the West Coast, is kind of keeps an eye on what's important to the growers. And article in this month is the pesticide problem and how growers are dealing with increased testing and how to handle that. We have reviews also in the back. We always have a couple of reviews. I'm a music guy, so we like to have, you know, a music review or a book review. This month it's the Dear Jerry compilation of artists performing the music of Jerry Garcia. So if you see a lot of Deadhead stuff in the magazine, it's because of me. we also have a review of the latest two albums by Keller Williams. I always like Keller. So, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, whatever coming out, and, you know, maybe they knock on our door. We also have a regular Abigail Hemp column by Erin Hyatt. Every month she does something that's kind of on the borderline of hemp and CBD, depending on what you want to call it these days. But, you know, what's mostly creams and soaps and things like that. And I'm telling her, go find some clothes because, you know, I want to hype some hemp clothes. They're a little harder to find these days. So, you know, that's kind of, we try to cover a lot in every issue, about 60 pages of articles, and the rest is ads.
Excellent. I encourage everyone to check out the Freedom Leaf. The new March edition's coming out. You can check out freedomleaf.com for more information. And another hat that Steve Bloom wears is editing the website celebstoner.com. And I had a couple of questions regarding celebrities out there. The first had to do with the excellent Super Bowl commercial with Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg. And it seems to me like the advertising agencies are warming up now to the idea of playing around with marijuana jokes. Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I hope so. You know, I mean, that's just one of, you know, every once in a while one sneaks in there. You wait every year at the Super Bowl to see if there's going to be a Doritos ad, you know, it's catering to the stoners, right?
Yeah,
it never happens. But this year, it was this one. And so, I think it's a good thing, but, you know, also that was done way before things are changing. So who knows what's going to happen, you know? Is the advertising community going to be that brash now that there are some threats, you know, being directed at marijuana? So we'll see if this is just kind of a one-off thing. But it was really funny.
We also seem to have a bunch more sitcoms and even family dramas that are revolving around the issue of marijuana. I know Kathy Bates was involved with something, and Doug Benson's got his High Court show that's coming up. Any other things on the entertainment horizon we should be looking for?
I mean, right now, you know, we're still sort of waiting for a round of new shows to come out. There's the Mary and Jane show, which comes through the Snoop Dogg camp. That came out on MTV last year, and also Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart, you know, the Potluck show on VH1. So that was, you know, coming from them. They're co-producing those shows, and that's how that's coming out. Doug Benson, I'm just kind of amazed. That guy always comes up with something new. You know, he just, you know, Doug kind of goes away for a little while, and he hatches something else. And I'm sure this is out of, you know, now he's Judge Doug. And here's a guy who's, you know, calling it the High Court and on Comedy Central. And it started last night, and it's only a 15-minute program right now. They're giving him 15 minutes, and then you go into Tosh.20. So they're not giving him a lot of time. It's one, you know, like, basic, you know, scenario with a judge and two people arguing about something and a funny bailiff. And then, you know, they have to go back to deliberate. And, of course, they have a big bong and they're deliberating. This is on Comedy Central. I mean, you go, whoa, what's going on here? Only Doug Benson could pull this off. This guy's amazing. From Super High Me to the marijuana logs to Get Doug with High. I mean, Doug loves movies, the Benson interruption. You know, this guy is just full of great ideas. So even if it doesn't last, it's just really cool that it's making it. I guess they're teasing people with it and see if it does well, and maybe it'll go to a half-hour format.
Yeah, that'd be nice to see. And I'm sure you got wind of the Oscar controversy that happened with the Best Picture announcement. I kind of found it funny that, you know, we're the ones always criticized for being stoners and forgetful, and I don't know, was Warren Beatty or somebody there smoking something? What the hell happened?
He was funny. He was on the pipe a little bit before and got picked up. I think, I hate to be ageist, but maybe they should think better about putting, you know, some of their older stars out there for the biggest award where they might blow it, and they did. You know, I mean, it didn't take too much for him to basically say, hey, I got the wrong envelope. You got the other one? You know,
yeah.
It would have looked funny, but at least he could have said that. Hey, this is not the right envelope. I don't know why he couldn't do that, but I guess, you know, under the pressure and the moment, and, you know, maybe they really wanted, you know, La La Land to win too. And, you know, I'm reading some stories, you know, with sort of the subtext of all this, you know, what was really going on. If you're a black person seeing this go on, you know, it's sort of some sort of continuation of not getting affirmed for the great work you do and have to sort of get a sort of a backseat way of being awarded. You know, I mean, as the show was going on, it did look like a La La Land sweep. But, you know, I was thinking back to, you know, remember a few years back when Brokeback Mountain was cruising along, like they were going to win it, and then Crash kind of stole the Academy Awards. Like,
yeah.
What the hell happened? It looked like it was right in their pocket. And it kind of happened the other night, too, with, you know, La La Land's winning everything except for screenplay and best supporting actor. They won 6 awards to 2 by Moonlight. And then all of a sudden, you know, Moonlight won. So I think all of those things combined, like, I don't think people expect it to happen. I think the white people who were giving out those awards at that time, you know, were sort of had their idea in them. Oh, it's going to be La La Land. So, you know, I don't even have to open the envelope.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of mistakes all the way around. But about Moonlight, I really was behind Moonlight. I hadn't seen La La Land, but I'm sure it's a great movie, and I love jazz, so, you know, I'm sort of behind all that. But Moonlight is really an important movie, you know, and kind of like Brokeback was an important movie in terms of, you know, taking the gay issue to the next level, you know, on screens for millions of people to see, and especially coming from the African-American experience where it's not often discussed as much, and it's kind of swept under the rug. So, I mean, and just pushing that whole issue out there. And besides that part of the story, it's such a well-told story, kind of like Richard Linklater's Boyhood a few years ago, where, you know, he kind of charted the life of this family, you know, it's charting the life of this boy in Moonlight as he's bullied and, you know, how, you know, and his mother's a crack addict and how all that affects him as he grows up. Really great movie. So I'm happy it won. I'm just so sad that they have to go through all that.
Yeah, what a shame. Well, Steve Bloom, editor-in-chief of Freedom Leaf Magazine and running celebstoner.com as well. Thanks for joining us here. We'll talk to you next month when we get ready for the April edition, which I'm sure will have a 420 theme, and we'll talk to you then about it.
You are correct.
All right, man. Thanks so much.
See you at the next ICBC.
Hey, yeah.
Bye-bye, Ron.
We'll see you there.
Okay. Bye.
All right. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have time for the radical rant on why today's marijuana is so strong, it even makes Republicans forget about states' rights. Back after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.